Our scripture reading is from John 14 today, and Jesus is at word. You're welcome to follow with me as it comes up on the screen. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you've seen him. And then Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. I want to start with a question that is important because it involves our entire way of going through life, our relationships, our way of looking at the world, looking at God, looking at ourselves. And the question is, who is Jesus to you? Who is God for you? Is he someone who is either against you or for you? Is he someone who is far or is he near? Is he someone who is absent or actively part of your life and everything around you? There's a story about a boy whose mother once told him, if I see you take an apple from the pantry, I'll punish you. And if I don't see you take the apple, the Lord will see you and he will punish you. Now you can just imagine the impact of these words on this little boy's experience and idea of who God is. And the story continues as the boy grew older, his image and idea of God shifted. And later he became a theologian and he realized that just maybe if God had caught him taking an apple from the pantry, he think God might have asked him, why didn't you take two? The story made me reflect on the ideas that I grew up with about who God is. Who is he to you? Our understanding of who God is shapes our whole life. It affects our relationship with him, with others. It affects how we behave, how we go through pain and uncertainty, and how we present in this world. And in today's scripture, Jesus is with his friends, his disciples. This is a very emotional moment. Just before these words that we read, he caught them off guard by washing their feet, doing the task of a servant. He just said to them that one of them will betray him. And then he said, one of them was going to deny him. Now, you can just imagine that the atmosphere must have been charged. And Jesus could see that their hearts were troubled. And he uses this moment of uncertainty and of anguish, of heartache, of confusion to tell them once again who he is. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And this is the good news, that through Jesus, we learn who God is and what he's like. We learn the way. He is the way. This means that through him, there's another way to life. There's another way to do life with him. And he brings comfort. Not only in their moments of sadness, fear, uncertainty, doubt, but also in ours. This I am statement of Jesus is also a comfort and encouragement to each one of us today. Jesus, who could read their hearts like a billboard, knew exactly what they were thinking. He was touched by what they were experiencing. And in a sense, he shared their sorrow and their pain. They couldn't feel his pain, but he could feel theirs. And he says to them, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in me. Believe in God and also believe in me. That's Jesus' first words to them in their confusion. Believe in me. Now, this is strange. It grasped my imagination because these disciples have experienced Jesus firsthand. They got to know him. They worked with him. They lived with Jesus. And he still has to say to them, believe in me. And as I meditated on this, I realized faith is a journey. Faith isn't static. It grows. It moves. It's dynamic. It's an action, but it's also reaction. It cannot be worked up. It's a gift. That's what Paul says in Romans 12. We've different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. God has placed faith in our hearts. And not everyone has the same measure of it, but he gives it to us. When the Israelites escaped from Egypt, Pharaoh pursued them, and God parted the Red Sea. The Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their left and a wall of water on their right. And I think some of them probably loved it. Some of them probably said, in your face, Pharaoh, eat your heart out. We're cruising now. Maybe some of them were a bit more timid. And I think definitely some of them, I would have said, we're going to die. I'm going to die today. Not all of them expressed the same quality of faith, but they were all equally saved. And it's not the quality of your faith that saves you. It's the object of your faith that saves you. And that's the good news of the gospel. Not everyone has the same measure. And like any other gift, you cannot create it yourself. But you can do something with it. And when I respond in faith, I realize my faith grows. You see, we may believe in God theoretically, abstractly, but not experience a trust in him here and now in our life. We can believe that Jesus is Christ. He died on the cross for me, and I'll go to heaven one day if I confess my sins. But that belief does not necessarily have an effect on my behavior and on my life. It's something different to believe everything about him than it is to believe in him. And that is perhaps what Jesus wants to remind us and them of here. He knows that they are in a place of fear where their dreams are in pieces, shattered. Their whole life is going to have to take a new direction. And this is, of course, a place we all experience somewhere on the journey when we decide to be a follower of Jesus. They may ask, why is this happening to me? Does he not care? Where is God in this? I gave him everything. I trusted him so much. He knows exactly what I want and what I need, and he's not giving it to me. Where to with my life right now? And so in this confusion, Jesus brings the invitation, not only to the disciples, but to you and I. Believe in me. Believe in me. In the circumstance you are in, no matter how dark it seems, there's a crack through which you will be able to see the light, through which you can gain faith, through which you can give of yourself, and everything can change if you respond to it. Jesus says, believe in me. Because you have come to know the way. You know the way to the place where I'm going, he says in verse 4. You've come to know this way. This way is different to the way of this world. On this way, you will find that you are strong when you are weak. On this way, you realize I actually live a downwards life rather than upwards. And when I live downwards, I'll be exalted. On this way, you let go of your ego that keeps you from knowing the depths of love and forgiveness and hope. On this way, you trade arrogance for vulnerability, dominance for humility. This way affects every part of your life. Your relationships change from do what I say to how can we find a way to work through this? It affects our relationship with our children, our life at work, the way you drive your car and the way you resolve conflict. This way invites us to live, not live beyond our means. On this way, you live below your means because you save so that your ambitions and dreams are not about how far can I stretch everything I have. My ambition and dream is how far can I open the gap that I can give more of myself and what God has gifted me. It's an upside down approach. It's an upside down way compared to the way of this world. But if you live and stay in it for a while, it turns around. Your head shifts, your mind shifts, everything turns around. If I'm cursed, I'll bless. And yes, to a certain extent, Jesus' way doesn't make much sense in our life, in this world, in the way of society. It also didn't make sense for the disciples because it wasn't what they expected from the Messiah who was going to come and save them. But this is his way. And when we start following his way, we get surprised by him. You experience his transformative work in you and you begin to live his life. And then Jesus gives the disciples and us two verbs on this way. In this life with him, he says, come and come to know, come and learn. No one comes to the Father except through me. So come to me. And if you have come to know me, you will also know my Father. If you come to know me, if you learn about me, you will know my Father. No one comes to the Father except through him. So come. Come as you are. He says, come to me, all who are weary. Come to me. I will recreate you. I will make you a new person. You will become new. And this is not a self-improvement project. I will do it for you, in you, and with you. When you come to me, I will become active in your experience. You will experience that I live, and you will change. You will begin to reflect my character. It will take a few months, a few years, a lifetime because it's a journey, but it's a journey you embark on with me. That's the invitation of Jesus. All we need to do is to come and bring the truth of our life to him. We don't have to sort ourselves out first. We don't have to get everything right first. Some of us here today feel like we find ourselves in the midst of great chaos in our lives and we think, I can't come with all this stuff. You can. Come as you are. Come with a longing and desire for that richer, better, deeper, fuller life that Jesus promises. He is life. And maybe today that is all you need to hear. Come to Jesus. Come to him. The second verb is to learn. Come to know me, he says. I come to know by taking in. I come to know by receiving. I come to know by letting go of destructive patterns and decisions I've made in the past that keeps me from learning and receiving his forgiveness. I come to know his strength in the difficult circumstances I am facing when I turn towards him. I come to know his voice so that I can discern in the decisions I must make. I come to know his joy in moments of sadness. Come to know him. You might wonder, Melissa, where do I start? Well, start with his life. He is life. Start with his way. Start with his words. Get to know the I am. Get to know his way, his truth, and his life. Find that space. Sit with him like a disciple at his feet. A disciple at the feet of his rabbi. Open up. Let go and become empty of your own opinions and read and interact with scripture. Think about it. Meditate on it. And as that word starts burning in your heart, verbalize and tell God what is going on in your heart. I get in touch with my emotions and my thoughts, my inner world, and I share it with him. And that's how I learn. That's how I get to know what faith is. I learn to trust. I learn to believe. I learn there's a way. I learn that he is the way. He is life. And I learn that this life, the life he gives, is the best life there can be. We have an invitation. And it might just be the biggest invitation we have in life. We have a chance, an opportunity here. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come and share in my life. Come and learn from me. Come and get to know me. Because on this way, in this life, you'll be transformed. You'll be enabled. He will gift you and lead you in this way. He will empower you to become who he had created you to be and do what you were created to do. You will do things that you will not be able to do on your own. That is the Christian life. But maybe today you're in a place where you say, it's a little hard for me to believe this morning. My faith is lacking. I don't know. I don't really see it. Then you may just be in a place where you are invited to investigate Jesus. Come as you are and see how he lived, who he was, and what he did. You don't have to respond right now. Just start investigating. Faith might just come through the crack in the darkness, and it might just grow. Lord, we know that we can't do this without you, with each other. So we ask, Holy Spirit, that you will allow our faith to grow, to believe in you. You who are the way and the truth and the life. We long to know this way, to live with you, to follow you and walk in truth. And we ask that you will show us, Lord, where that next step of faith needs to be so that we can grow and can enjoy and can discover this life with you. Eternal life is knowing you, Lord, and we long to know you. We long to love you. We long to follow you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining today that we could worship together as a community of faith and receive God's word for our life. If you would like to speak to someone, you have a prayer request or you just need to, you have a pastoral need, some of our team members are available to speak to you, pray with you. You're welcome to contact us. The details will be on your screen right now. Receive the blessing. The love of God our Father and the grace of Jesus Christ, the peace of his Holy Spirit be with you and remains with you now and forevermore. Amen.